It's Ian Pickus here in the Congressional Corner on WAMC, and we're joined by New York Congressman Paul Tonko, a Democrat from the 20th District. He's been in office since 2009, and he's staying put after being reelected earlier this month. So, Congressman Tonko, at the end of our last conversation, you were talking about the fact that Democrats would like to resist a likely move by President-elect Trump and Republicans who will be in control of Congress to keep the Trump tax cuts as the law of the land and perhaps do some more. As you prepare to be in the minority in the next term, what kind of tools are Democrats going to be using facing this unified GOP government to try to, you know, get their own policies put across?
Well, I think, you know, it will be an appeal to the communities out there, the general public, to understand the benefit of investing in programs that really lead to a stronger economy, to a stronger workforce, one that is, honed with the skills that are required by some of the more cutting-edge opportunities, advanced manufacturing, you know, bringing those kinds of opportunities. That will take investment, but that investment should not, and I hope will not, be replaced denied simply by doing tax cuts for the very wealthy and for corporations. I believe that, you know, no matter what the election results were, I don't believe in those issue areas that the general public would walk away from that commitment. To grow an economic opportunity in our communities takes an investment. And, we're going to need to address climate change, because if we don't, the consequences become extremely expensive. We see what it's requiring to respond to the aftermath of all of the devastation in the southeast of our country. We need to grow our clean energy and innovation economy. We need to invest in mental health care and tackling the opioid addiction crisis. So people, I believe, expect us to make progress on these issues, regardless of who's in the White House and regardless of who's controlling Congress. So I think it's making a case to the general public. And I'm convinced, after my decades in service through local, state, and now federal government, that the people still run the process. Their opinion matters. It matters significantly. And I think if we see any efforts to dismantle the middle class, the working middle class, those looking to ascend the middle class, there will be a pushback, I'm convinced.
What about the president-elect's pledge to start a nationwide roundup of undocumented immigrants on day one?
Well, it's how, you know, I think that can create a situation that's very painful, and that is un-American in its outcome. I think, you know, now people are asking, rightfully so, if you're going to deport these individuals, will families be intact? And I thought the answer from the appointee, from Mr. Homan, was somewhat cavalier.
Right. You know, he's going to be the border czar. And in an interview on 60 Minutes and other places, he said, well, they shouldn't have come in illegally, basically, when asked that question.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, there was a lot of concern in the beginnings of the first half of the Trump administration about, you know, how children were ripped away from their families. And that is not an American standard. That is not an American quality or characteristic. We're better than that. And we care about families and individuals. So, look, the time has long passed that we need sound immigration reform with a path to citizenship. You know, our country is a nation of immigrants, and we should make the cycle the process as justifiable as can be. It needs to be done with the appropriate resources and the reforms, making certain that, you know, there are these opportunities for people to have that shot of entering the country. But we've abandoned that. We had a bipartisan bill that was ready to move us forward. We still had more improvements to do beyond it, but it would have been a major step forward, and it was denied. That progress was denied when the Republicans abandoned their own plan at the request of then-candidate Trump. And I think that, we need to put this issue ahead of politics. This is something that's holding us back. We have jobs that these individuals can fill. We have jobs that aren't getting filled in healthcare, in the hospitality industry, in agriculture. And so, you know, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office has found that over the next decade, immigration could add $7 trillion to our economy. But therein lies the prioritization that should be applied to this issue, and done in a bipartisan, bicameral way, working with the White House, but seeing it as a way to impose in that reform American ideals, not to break apart families, not to deny entry for those who are escaping bloodshed, escape, you know, who are looking as refugees to get away from what are life-threatening situations. So we need to be open, we need to be practical, and we need to be reform-minded here so that a system that hasn't been working can be improved upon and allowed to work again. You know, it's within our grasp, it's within our abilities, and we should just set aside political tugs of war and go forward with what's best for the country.
Let's end our conversation by talking about the question of reproductive rights. Now, Democrats were running on that issue in November, and after the Dobbs decision of 2022 and then a number of restrictive state policies, they thought this would motivate their base to turn out. But now Republicans are in line for unified government, as we've discussed. Where does the fight for reproductive rights stand today, given the fact that Roe is gone and Republicans are in charge?
Right. Well, you know, so much is focused on Project 2025. And there are those who truly believe that 2025 would move towards a national ban on abortion. I think we saw from voters supporting both now President-elect Trump and Vice President Harris, people on both of the supporting both of those candidates also voted to deny the ban. You know, there were 6-week bans, 15-week bans. People wanted reasonable response, and they were voting against what they thought were unreasonable restrictions. And so now we go forward and have an opportunity again to revisit the issue. Handing it to the states will provide all sorts of difficult outcomes for states that have more open and wide opportunities compared to states that might deny nearly totally. It will create different standards. It will require travel. It will require situations where women whose lives are at risk will not be responded to. And again, it's reproductive rights and health care as a right is, I think, and again, an American ideal. It's not a, you know, it should be seen as a right and not a luxury, and to make certain that there is sound policy that really reflects what the nation was saying. Across, you know, across party lines, across gender lines, across the country, people voting for either of the candidates were in many ways in the state referenda that were out there were saying that this has gone too extreme. And so I think we're back at the table with this issue. And if Project 2025, which is really seen as the document that will guide this administration, if they're insisting on a national ban, I think you're going to see a major struggle out there.
We've been speaking with New York Congressman Paul Tonko, a Democrat from the 20th District, and we so appreciate all of your time. We look forward to asking you about the new term, but in the meantime, go vote.
Okay, I will, and I always appreciate the opportunity to join the station with AMC and the listeners. It's always a powerful bit of connection, and I appreciate that.